There are just some things that are in your heart, things that you know are blessings from above, good gifts from above. The very breath that we take to sing today and to speak and to have our being is a gift of God. So we come together with thanksgiving in our hearts and we praise the name of our wonderful and gracious God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we want to start out by acknowledging you. You are our everything. You are the God of all creation. You are the one who gives life. You are the one who sustains life. You are the one who prepares eternal life. You are the one that rescues us when we are lost. You are just incredibly important and powerful, and we just thank you for giving us just a portion of who you are. And one day, oh God, we know we'll stand in your presence and we will understand the eternal glory. We will be overwhelmed with the eternal glory of who you are. And God, we realize that it's going to be so different from what we know now that we will just be a people of worship like we've never been before. But would you start it in us afresh and anew right now, here tonight? Make us a people of worship and a people of thanksgiving, for you are good, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
Praise him. excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Oh, give thanks because He's given.
I think the Lord deserves a round of applause tonight. He is worthy, isn't He? He's a great God who has given so much to us. You may be seated, and we'll ask Matt. Where is Matt? Oh, there you are. You were just blending right into the crowd there as Matt's going to come and share with us some words from the Psalms. And I think about the psalmist and how he would have such difficulties, yes, in his life, but he would always be the victor because he was a praising man. And that changed everything. Read for us, Matt.
This is from the Psalm 103, verses 1 through 13 of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your mouth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him.
Not all I can respond with is wow. That a gracious, holy, merciful God would have mercy on such a sinner as I. Forget not all of His benefits. That's what you read, Matt. Forget not all of His benefits. We don't want to do that. And the psalmist there described some of those benefits. The promises of eternal existence in forgiveness and grace. And so we want to give you an opportunity tonight to share some of those blessings of God, those benefits of God, so that we don't forget. One of the great ways to obey that command, forget not all of His benefits, is to keep reviewing them, right? So we don't forget. And I'll start us off with just a word. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came into my life and made a huge difference for eternity. Sometimes I think about what I could have been if I hadn't come to know Christ early. And I'll tell you what, it's not a pretty picture when I think about it. What I had the potential to become and be and do. And God is gracious enough to rescue me. He rescued me. Before I even knew I needed rescued, Jesus came. And so I'm thankful for that salvation tonight. And I hope that you are too. But His benefits just go on and on and on. So what have you got that you'd like to praise God for tonight? Just if you're in the front, you can kind of turn around, or maybe we could walk a microphone out there. And sometimes the people behind you can't hear you, so we want to make sure that you have opportunity. Just raise your hand, and we'll start with a guy in the very back. You can't get any more back than that in the sound booth.
So we moved from Cincinnati with our kids, which most of the folks in our congregation know. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to have my kids in church every week. We were kind of being chewed up by corporate America and just, you know, the fast pace of the city. We were in Cincinnati for over 10 years, and it's easy to get caught up in everything, kind of forget, you know, at the end of the day, what you kind of hang your hat on. You know, what are your morals, what are your values, and what do you kind of fall back on? And it's kind of providing that now, being up here for going on 2 years. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to give my kids a head start, whereas, you know, I'm still on my journey and, you know, stuff I've spoke on a couple other Sundays. But I'm glad to just be able to give them a head start and show them, you know, what to hang their hat on and what to really rely on when all else fails, because that fast-paced world sure, certainly does fail you quite a bit out there. So
that's great. Yeah. So this is my son-in-law speaking, in case you didn't know, and my daughter. But yesterday we were watching the kids, and it was time for them to go home, and maybe it was this morning, I don't know. But anyway, the comment was made to Emmett. We got to get ready for church. Do you want to go to church? And this was his response. So that's a blessing. Someone else. Slip your hand up. Carol, bring your microphone. Don't be afraid. Okay, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Well, first of all, born an alcoholic. Thank you.
What a blessing. Yeah, that's awesome. And praise God for godly grandmothers, because every one of her prayers for you, Bob, were effective and have brought you to salvation and faith in the Lord. And so, yeah. Come on, grandmas, keep on praying, right? Someone else. Yeah, yeah. There, give Lana a mic. Yes, you do. Don't argue with me.
We have to realize that our prayers are eternal.
Yes.
That they outlive us. We believe, both of us believe, that the prayers of our grandmothers were answered when we got saved. Beyond. It was after their death. They didn't see it. Her grandmother Sheila was built on faith. Oh, this is Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Our prayers never stop being before the presence of God. Yeah, they're always there. Someone else. This is wonderful. I'm enjoying this. Rachel, all right. Well, you're sitting far enough back, you might be okay, but we won't take any chances.
The church family here knows most of my story, but for our sister church family, I have had quite the year. And I first want to praise the Lord, along with Pastor Jim, for saving my soul when I was 7 years old. And for being brought up in a church family that preached the gospel and that never wavered on what was right or what was wrong. And they gave me a love for the Word of God and for Scripture. And so I made sure I went to a Christian college. But I'm going to be 40 next April. And this year was unlike anything I've ever experienced. The Lord brought me through breast cancer. The Lord brought me through radiation after that. And after that, He brought me through a hysterectomy in July. And then I just had kidney stone removal surgery. And now I'm looking toward iron treatments and, lung possible treatments. And there's just more things. And it makes me laugh and cry at the same time, because Satan is, and I heard Pastor Jim say, Satan wants, he hates us. He wants to destroy us. And he is bent on stealing and killing and destroying, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so I've been making the joke, I'm like, well, the Lord must have wanted me to get all this done in 1 year so that I wouldn't have to worry about anything else for quite a while. But, and that hasn't been all. We've had some relational struggles, familial struggles between my husband and I that are very gut-wrenching and heartbreaking. And it's hard to talk about because we still believe that we're firmly in God's hands regarding those things. And then I'm reminded at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, that great passage of the resurrection. It says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I'm like, I hear that word in vain all the time. Okay, I'm not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain. But like, what does that word in vain mean? And from a word nerd, and I look it up, and it says it means void or empty or meaningless, like everything is meaningless or useless. The New Living Translation actually says, like, nothing that you do for the Lord is useless. And so at the beginning of this process, I committed myself to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, I just want you to get glory for yourself. I don't care what it takes, what it costs me. I don't care, because I'm your servant. I have to be submitted to you throughout this whole thing. And y'all, God has shown up in so many ways, far beyond. He always does, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And has just blown my mind about how He's just been there and provided and been so gracious to this ungracious child. One of the sweetest things ever, and I told Pastor Jim and Cheryl this after my most recent surgery, when I had kidney stones removed, is that on one of the nurses walked me out. I kind of formed a kinship with her, and she wanted to leave with me because she wanted to be done with her work day because it's just been busy. She gave me a hug. And it was one of those hugs where it was so genuine and it was so real that it wasn't just her that was hugging me. You know, have you ever had one of those hugs that it wasn't just the person hugging you? It literally felt like the Lord was embracing me and said, I've healed you. You can go now. Wow. So I'm going to praise the Lord that I'm still standing and that Satan is under my feet. Romans, that song that says Romans 16:19 says, "Be excellent of what is good, be innocent of what is evil, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." And he's already under my feet, so I'm going to move forward in gladness and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit, knowing that God still he is working out his plan through me and through my husband, who has put up with me this whole time. He has been my caretaker, my support, my rock after Jesus, because he has to be my rock. But God has been so gracious. And if any of you ever need a morsel of hope, I will talk your ear off until you believe that there's hope for you too.
Yes, amen. Hope is real. Yeah. Yeah. We'll skip some other stuff in our program if you've got more testimonies, because this is good stuff.
Yep. Oh, okay.
That's a joke.
All good stuff. All very good stuff. Yes. Jan.
I am so grateful that 50 years ago, at this time, I laid in a hospital bed and I wanted to die. Matt, Deb, do you remember? I was 15 years old and I just had major surgery on my back. And I wanted to die. And the Lord said to me, "Not yet. Not yet." I didn't understand why. But he said, "Not yet. And wherever you go, I will be with you." And he has kept that promise. And so I'm so thankful to have that promise to hang on to tonight.
Yeah. Yes. And here you are a couple of years later. God has been gracious for quite some time for you. Yes. Well, I would like to say thank you. This is, first of all, my primary thanks is to God on high. But I also want to say thank you to two very special congregations. During my sickness of stage 4 lymphoma, the prayers of the people have made all the difference. Really have. And I know the people from Northland have been praying fervently as well for me. We have a kind of a connection, you know, through Cheryl there. But I would get cards from Northland, and I would get prayers and people checking on me from two congregations. That's pretty special in a small community. And I just want you to know that your prayers made all the difference. I didn't enjoy chemo. It's over now. I'm past that. I didn't enjoy it, but I saw the hand of God sustaining me through it. And there were some very special blessings. One is, forgive me for being graphic, but I didn't throw up even one time in all of that, with all the nausea and everything. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I consider that a blessing. I was tired and weak many times, but I was able to preach every Sunday through that course and keep going. And it's because you've been praying. That's why. The people of God praying. And so I will have my a scan tomorrow to determine where we're at in the whole process, and then a doctor's appointment later. But I fully anticipate that we're going to get a good report. And the doctor anticipated we can eradicate all of this. And so it's been a journey that has been in God's hand. And I thank you for that. Thank you so very much. God has certainly been good. God ordains praise from the lips of children. Let's enjoy this video together for a moment. Doesn't that warm your heart? May we be as children and easily be thankful for all of His goodness. I think, Paul, we're going to skip the next song and go to the great Are You Lord? Just to save a little time here. And you can cue that up for us. Let us worship.
Give life.
Thank you to our music team tonight for sharing with us. You may be seated. That particular song brings back a special picture to me. It was years ago, actually, when it had just come out, wasn't very old in music. And I wasn't pastoring here, I was pastoring down in Louisiana. And we had a visitor that day. And he sat in the very back row. And he came in with his oxygen tanks, wearing and breathing the oxygen to help him live. And I remember when we hit that song, here's what he did. His arms were in the air and his eyes were closed, and he was worshiping God for the very breath that he had to still live and still praise and still be thankful. So to our dying breath, let us be a thankful people for the goodness of God. Before Pastor Gary comes, we're going to show one more video. And I'm not going to skip it because I paid $18 for this thing. Okay? But it's a comical video, but it ends on a very serious note about the goodness of God. So let's enjoy this together.
It was Thanksgiving morning, and I was sick. And not the dainty, manageable kind of sick. I was sick. There was so much still to be done. Supplies to gather, food to prepare, and an 18-pound turkey to roast. So my dear husband decided to enlist help. If he were smart, he would have just called his mother or his sister-in-law, but no. He called his brother, Paul. Now, let me just say, seeing the two of them in action is what made me understand why animals eat their young. Neither of them had any real experience in the kitchen. In fact, they had about as much business preparing a holiday dinner as I did. playing linebacker in the NFL. The only meal I'd ever seen my husband prepare was a bowl of cereal. And Paul? Well, Paul had his own set of difficulties when it came to food prep. I'm not exactly sure what went on in the kitchen that day, but judging from the commotion, the laughter, and one actual scream, I was pretty sure it was something I wasn't going to be thankful for. Good intentions can go a long way, but you need more than intentions to roast a turkey. On Thanksgiving, most of us stop and reflect on the tangible things we're thankful for. Our health, our family. However, on that Thanksgiving, I didn't have my health and I couldn't be with my family. I felt alone and somewhat forgotten. Then I remembered a time in the Bible when Moses felt alone. He wanted to see God to try and make sense of his circumstances. In turn, God said he would make his goodness pass right in front of him. And God's goodness was more than enough. I guess the trick is, no matter what the circumstance you find yourself in on Thanksgiving, or any day, is to see God's goodness and to thank him for it. Oh, and by the way, that Thanksgiving may have ended up being the best one we ever had. Thanks to the dinner being overcooked, undercooked, and in some parts raw, our family started the first annual Thanksgiving leftovers food fight. Sure, it's silly and a whole lot of fun, but this tradition has become an annual reminder to our whole family that no matter how messy our lives get, we can still be thankful for God's goodness.
Going to split up that cost over several Thanksgivings. The goodness of God. Even the last part that she said, even when life gets messy, we can still know the goodness of God. And everything about God, Brother Gary, is good. You know, I know you know that. Everything about God is good. And even if it gets messy on this side. But would you tell us about a good God tonight?
Will. So good news is I knew that there was going to be sharing, and so I chopped my message down to 3 hours, so we should be fine. But seriously, Thanksgiving is a great holiday. It's got such a rich history at the heart of it. Gathering with family and friends for a meal. And I'm thankful to live in a nation that takes a day off to give thanks. Not everybody, you know, with that meal, it doesn't always go according to plan all the times. And sometimes family relations get strained, but at the heart of it, I'm glad to live in a country that sets that day apart. And I was just double-checking because I thought it was the case, and this isn't a big promo for Walmart, but Walmart's come back to that. I don't know if they did it last year or not, but I heard that, you know, with Black Friday creeping more and more and sliding over into Thanksgiving,
for whatever reason, I'm thankful for Walmart that they put the brakes on, and they are not open on Thanksgiving Day. So that I think that's good because it makes it easier for us to stay home and with family and friends, but it also enables their employees to do that. And I think that's a very good thing. I wanted to share a little bit about the origins of Thanksgiving in our country. Some of those have been kicked around and back and forth, and this is from the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. Good scholars. The Pilgrims were English separatists who believed congregations should be independent, voluntary, democratic institutions rather than part of the Church of England. In 1607 and 08, they left England for the more tolerant Dutch Republic. This isn't all going to be a history lesson, but just a little framework so that we can know and lean into it. Life in the Netherlands, however, proved difficult. Some ran out of money and returned to England. Without further immigration from England, the congregation was in danger of collapsing. I didn't know that. The Pilgrims were also unhappy with the libertinism of Dutch culture and worried that their children would grow up more Dutch than English. After much discussion, they decided to try and establish a colony, and this is really important. They could worship and raise their families as they saw fit. That's where they started. And where they could spread the gospel. In 1619, they received a patent to establish a colony in New England, north of the Virginian colony. In September 1620, Pilgrims with other colonists set sail on the Mayflower with 102 passengers. Just a very small sidebar that my grandma on my mom's side used to tell me that we had relatives, and one of them had a ticket to go on the Mayflower. But he gave up his ticket so that a lady could go in his place. I thought that was pretty cool. It turned out to be a wise thing because it was a harsh winter. So only 28 of them were members of the congregation. Of the 102 on the Mayflower, only 28 were members of the congregation. Plymouth Colony only survived because of help from the Native Americans. First contact came from Samoset, a minor chief from Maine who had learned English from fishermen who had set up a camp near his tribe. He then introduced them to Squanto. Squanto had been enslaved by English raiders, but eventually was freed because a Christian. He was free, became a Christian, and returned to his homeland. So, Romans 8:28, God can bring out good out of any situation. It was not good that he was enslaved, and there were some that came over to America and grabbed slaves and took them away. Squanto became a Christian in the midst of that. And God used him then to help the Pilgrims. Unfortunately, his tribe, the Patuxets, were wiped out by an epidemic. Plymouth Colony was on their lands. Squanto acted as both a translator and mediator between the Pilgrims and Massasoit. The chief of the Wampanoag tribe, with their help, the remaining Pilgrims survived and had a successful harvest that fall. Learn about planting corn and beans. Okay, background. The Pilgrims decided to hold the harvest festival, probably around September 29, 1621, which was a traditional date for such celebrations in England. Massasoit and members of his tribe joined them. In all, there were about 50 English and 90 of the tribe that I can't pronounce. The four surviving wives, together with children and servants, prepared and served food over how many days? Anybody know? 3 days. It was a 3-day celebration. Although much European contact with Native Americans featured disease, genocide, prejudice, and abuse, that was not the case with the Pilgrims. Rather than falsely maligning the first Thanksgiving, we should look at it as a model of things, how things should have been, and by God's grace, one day shall be. Okay, so a little history as we go into Thanksgiving that we can lean into. And again, I'm thankful because not every country has a day like Thanksgiving. to stop and give thanks. And different presidents have given their credibility to it and signed it into law of when it shall be. We go back in even farther. And God calls us to thanksgiving. Romans, Psalm 100 says this. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us and we're His. His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. And His faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. The whole earth. This was written back in Old Testament times where God's chosen people were the nation of Israel. And yet God loved all. The Israelites were to be a light to the nations. It's not that God just loved the Israelites. It's not now that God just loves the Israelites. They're to be a light to the nations. And the whole earth is to shout triumphantly to the Lord. He made us. He's given us breath. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Jesus is the great shepherd. Sometimes the nation of Israel were looked at as sheep without a shepherd. We're the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. So the gates are on the outside, and the courts are when you get closer to worship for the temple. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, courts with praise. How do we apply that today? Well, it's my idea, and I believe it's scripturally backed, that we get more out of worship when we come ready for worship. When we allow a little bit more margin. When we do a little bit more preparation. I mean, God is God. And He can speak to us. He can reach to us no matter where we are. He can reach out to us when we're sitting on Sunday morning like this. Everything crossed, you know. And I dare you, Pastor Jim, to say something that's meaningful to me. Or Pastor Gary. God can speak no matter what. But. You see, then it's all about us. And we leave worship saying, I didn't get much out of that. Well, how much did you put into it? If we enter His courts with thanksgiving, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about he tells us to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So, if we enter His courts with thanksgiving because it's related to the things we prayed for, that we've seen God at work through the week, and we're ready for that, guess what? That's going to rub off on others. And instead of coming to church and wanting people to do things for us, we're ready to have that just ooze out of us. And people will ask us, what's the reason for the hope we have? Because I know, Pastor Jim, what you've gone through. I know what others have gone through, and we've heard of it tonight. And people like, man, my life's a mess, and I don't have hope like you do. My life's a mess, and I wouldn't have made it like you did. But when we focus on things, I learned a few years ago, there's a phrase called reticular activation. It's basic way to describe it is like this. When you need a different car and you end up buying a blue one, you notice that there's all kinds of blue cars on the road. When you need a new roof, you see, boy, there's lots of other people fixing their roof. When we focus in on the things that we have to be thankful for, it's like the old Fanny Crosby song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So enter His gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And to me, as I read Scripture, there's a slight difference between those two. Courts with thanksgiving is related to what God has done, related to the ways that he's touched your life, and it's better often in relationship to a prayer, but not always. Not always. I told our congregation this morning that, you know, one thing we have to be thankful for that we often forget is that we woke up this morning. Not everybody did around the world. So enter his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with thanksgiving, courts with praise. Thanksgiving is what God's done. Praise is who he is. And both of those are important in our worship. Both of those are important in our prayers. If we just focus on the things that we have to be thankful for, the things that we need, and then we are like the one leper that came back and told Jesus thanks. That's good. But when we started out communicating God with praise, think about how awesome he is. And we can, if we're stumped, you know, there's 150 chapters of Psalms. We can tag team with the psalmist when we need help with praise, and then we can develop that praise muscle. And we think, and that frames the rest of how we pray. Because when we pray, starting out with praise, think about who God is, it puts things in perspective. Because our human nature is that we think of our problems in terms of how big they are. But when we praise, we start to think about how big God is. And I've said this many times in my congregation, I'll say it one more time as I start to wrap this up, as I do wrap this up, and it's the example of Peter walking on water. I'll just throw Peter's foot under the bus, but Peter was the only one that stepped out of the boat. Everybody else was in the boat. I mean, and for good reason. I mean, it was a bumpy ride. And Jesus is walking on the water, and they assumed it was a ghost. And Peter said, you know, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he got out of the boat. And I'm a very visual person. You know, if you're trying to get out of a boat, like a canoe or a small boat, and the waves are, you know, you got swells and you got big waves. And you know, sometimes we just think, oh, it was easy for those Bible people. They just kind of stepped out. How did he even get out of the boat is what I wonder. But then he got out of the boat and he starts to walk. And what happens? He looks down. And he starts to think about how he shouldn't be able to do this. And he starts to think about... He takes his eyes off Jesus. He starts to sink. And if you don't remember anything else from tonight, remember that we enter God's gates with thanksgiving. And when we keep our eyes on Jesus, it's perspective. Because our problems are phrased in how great God is.
Thank you, Pastor Gary, for those thoughts. That you taught me something new tonight. Somebody just this morning said to me that that God is calling them to be more and to experience more of God. I said, well, if you're going to experience more of God, then you have to be a learner. And I was a learner tonight, Pastor Gary, and this will stick with me. I always just lumped thanksgiving and praise together. But they're two different things. Thanksgiving, you said, was being appreciative of the things that God does. Praise is showing our appreciation for who he is. That's great. That, I love it when I can take a nugget home like that. That's great. Kara, would you come and... If it were not for the goodness of God, we'd be lost. It's wonderful that he invites us, Pastor Gary. He invites us, come into, enter my gates with thanksgiving, my courts with praise. A holy, gracious God invites us. We didn't invite him first. He invited us first to come. And the second nugget that I got, Pastor Gary, was how if we focus on thanksgiving and praise, suddenly we notice more and more to be thankful and and that is praiseworthy. It builds. So before we ever knew it, listen, my friends, before we ever knew it, God was being good to us. Let's listen to this song.
So good. With every